The safety is off. There's a round in the chamber. This is Armed Alabama, sponsored by McCoy Outdoor Company, Mobile's hometown full-line outdoor sporting products and gear store, an interactive talk show discussing self-defense, product reviews, shooting tips, safety, and more. Your calls, comments, and texts welcome at 343-0106. Now, here are your hosts, retired judge and certified NRA instructor, Rusty Johnston.
Welcome to Armed Alabama, and the special show we have for you tonight. We have a Halloween spooky conspiracy theory. So if you've got a comment or a question on one of these, we've got several that we'll be talking about tonight, including some very interesting ones. Give us a call here at the studio, 251-343-0106, and we will broadcasting also not only on FM Talk 106.5, but we are simulcasting on our Facebook page, and that's Armed Alabama Radio, FM Talk 106.5. And please like, save, and follow, and that way you'll be notified every time we go live for our show, but also when we post different articles or different comments. So usually this is a show about self-defense, firearm and ammo selection, home protection, concealed carry, training, proper range etiquette, and the law, of course, and much, much more. But tonight, our show is going to be about Halloween spooky conspiracy theories. And, of course, we have in the studio, as always, the Honorable Judge Johnston, and also we have with us Glenn Ramos, very good friend of the show and a very good commentator. So thank you, Glenn, for being here.
Seeing that I'm up most nights because I have a sleep disorder, I listened to Art Bell for like 15 years. So once my memory kicked in, I thought of a lot of good ones.
So nothing scares you anymore?
Right. Oh, we got some good stuff. There's black helicopters, Ruby Ridge, JFK assassination, Bigfoot, deep state, 9/11 stuff. The missing 411 or the 411, which is, if you don't know anything about that, that's very interesting. A lot of people don't know about that. But first, we want to talk about, of course, the shooter and how this guy was a anti-Trump leftist.
Well, number one, it happened in a gun-free zone.
Yes.
So, you know, let's kind of put, of course, the blame's on him, but all of these seem to happen in gun-free zones. You know, you got that. And I responded to a guy of all places, a psychologist in Psychology Today, three sensible things to do to stop this. Well, one of his was to require people to keep safe storage. They call it. California has it. And my response was, well, that really worked great. And I looked up the story when these four children were home alone, the oldest being 14, and a psycho came in naked with a pitchfork, killed two of the children, two escaped. The 14-year-old, who was a shooter, had certification, could not get into the locked vault where the guns were. So that safe storage really helped out, didn't it? And, you know, you get to it again, 100 people per year are killed in the United States in mass shootings. I feel sorry about that. That's 100 too many. But, you know, there are more than that that accidentally drown every year, death by drowning, or fall down the steps, or die by accidental poisonings. So to change your whole society because of that is insane.
Absolutely. Of course, there's you and I talked several times about the October surprise, Glenn, and what it was going to be. You know, this bomber thing is very suspicious on why you would make bombs and then none of them be functioning or none of them work.
They keep saying he has a long criminal record, but he's a registered Republican. If he has a long criminal record, he's not registered to vote. He's a felon.
Right.
Now, the thing I've noticed, I'm not sure if anyone else noticed here, but have you really noticed that in the news, there was a Wall Street Journal article that came out after the shooting, and everything, you and I talked about this earlier before, in the text of the article, everything was in black text except for one section. the one section in blue text said a man with an AR-15 shot 11 people. They make the stress or the point to really stress that. However, have you really noticed none of the Democrats, not to politicize this though, but none of the Democrats have really stepped up and call for an AR-15 ban like they normally do?
No gun control.
No gun control argument. No narrative whatsoever. Have you noticed that?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
Very strange.
It's been, I mean, right off the bat, of any time previously, it would have been shouts and calls for gun control or this, that, and the other. Of course, this is election season, and they don't want to do that
right now. Exactly.
Yeah, it could very well be. Okay, so the election is a week from today.
Yeah, so definitely, you guys in West Florida that's listening, we know a lot of people from West Florida listen to this show, call in a lot. So definitely, you need to get out and vote. And we need to send Mr. Gollum there packing because that's definitely – he is definitely a leftist. And, of course, we have some judge. We have some local races that are very important. Brandy Hambright for circuit judge is a very, very important race. And then, of course, Stephen McNair, House District 97. I actually got some phone calls and some messages and emails talking about, hey, you know, he could actually win and turn that seat red, which will be the first time in a long time that a Republican has held that seat.
Speaking of that, does anybody know about the conspiracy theory when Reagan was running in the 80s? Republicans were blue and Democrats were red, and that was easy to remember because red's associated with communists. At some point along the way, they switched that out.
I didn't know that.
I think it's probably deliberately done.
I think it was Lord the Sith, Palpatine.
You talk about Soros. George Soros? Yeah, that's right, Palpatine.
Now, so speaking of George Soros, one of the things that we've been watching in the news, of course, is this caravan. And it's been loosely stated, and I don't think anyone has concretely had found evidence that George Soros was funding this caravan, but somebody is providing them lots of food and transportation. I was watching Fox News the other day, and they were just randomly interviewing different people that were in the caravan via an interpreter. And so they grabbed several people to talk on camera. And one of the persons they grabbed asked him why he wanted to go to America. He said, well, he already had family there. And they say, well, oh, were you there before? He was like, yeah, I was there before. I was kicked out because I was charged with attempted murder.
Well, he's innocent until proven guilty.
The Fox anchor had no idea what to say after that. This is exactly the individual that Trump was talking about.
You know, several years ago, the Republicans in the House issued a statement that if they won, I guess maybe it's 14 or 12, they would vote to put landmines on the U.S. border, Mexican border. So that sounds like a good idea. After I did my little checking up on it, Obama ratified parts of the Ottawa Treaty that said the only place in the world we would use landmines is on the South North Korean border. So we can landmine it to keep them from being invaded, but we can't do it to our own border.
I want to say a little bit more on George Soros, and all the listeners out there need to realize who this guy really is. George Soros.
A felon.
Felon. He's a Nazi sympathizer and a globalist. Look up some homework here for YouTube. A 1998 interview with Steve Jobs.
I've got that, and I'll put it on our YouTube page.
Please do.
I've got it.
George Soros.
He kept saying it didn't exist.
That's right. He also he admitted working with the Nazis to round up his fellow Jews during World War II. Can you imagine that?
Yeah, and stealing their property afterwards.
He was proud of it. He said, no problem at all. It was no problem for me to do this.
Yeah, they said, did that bother you with him? No? Somebody else would have done it. That was his answer.
Realize this guy is the bad guy. I don't care what the news say about this guy. Oh, he's a good guy. He's a philanthropist, billionaire. No, he's a bad guy. And I'll tell you why. This guy supports any kind of progressive front, any kind of progressive a politician out there like the Gillums, like the Ocasio-Cortez.
He does it undercover through
That's
these
right.
organizations.
Yeah,
he
through his NGO.
He doesn't do it.
He does it through his Open Society Institute and his NGOs, and he supports open society, open borders, no sovereignty. This guy wants the collapse.
I think this may be happening in Florida. He's gotten into the attorney general and DA's races.
That's
to
right.
Try to kick out, you know, people he considers tough on criminals.
That's right.
And that's really ominous.
So go ahead. Again, look up the YouTube with Steve Cross, 60 Minutes, George Soros. It's very insightful.
Yeah, to your point, Judge, Justice Tom Parker made that very statement.
Yep.
That he was marked by George Soros and his organization to try to take him out of the race.
Well, you really hear about it is in Europe. He's really tried to bring down some of the countries there. We will be right back, folks, with more of Armed Alabama after this short break.
And the starry satellite skies, a light wig taking in the cover of dark, can't stop. Did I hear that right? Live conversations beaming out to us all in the dark. Real life phone line on air experts warning the world things are falling apart. Coast to coast, to the average Joe, it may be hard to tell. Oh well, I listen close. Yeah, the truth is out there. Ask God Bill, where Area 51? Aliens, laser guns, or government ties to wars and lies, spinning right out of control, conspiracy radio.
Step up to the firing line. Armed Alabama is back. Questions, comments, and texts at 343-0106.
Adam, before we take our caller, I'm just going to say this once so everybody will kind of think about it. People are still afraid of their children getting poisoned Halloween candy and or candy that has razor blades and all this. That's totally false. It all arose from two things. One, in the 60s, a Houston man took out a big life insurance policy on his son and then poisoned his son's candy, didn't kill him, thank God, and some other kids. It all comes from that. And then the foreign matter, the only foreign matter they've ever found is in Chinese imported candy where they got bits of metal and, you know, just from sloppy conditions. They've never had anybody systematically doing, you know, with what I was shocked. This is 5 years ago because I like to kind of challenge the established narratives, and it's just totally false. But they will probably tonight, our friends in TV, be at the hospital by the x-ray candy and all. There's no reason to do that.
That's the same ones that were leaning forward during the hurricane,
well,
saying
right.
that the winds were
let me give you
blowing
one
them over.
All of us think that the British and Americans committed genocide by giving Native Americans blankets that were contaminated with smallpox. It's kind of funny, though, microbe theory wasn't really published or well-known until the 1870s. They didn't know what caused diseases. Some people thought it was because you were just a bad person. Some people thought it was the swampy conditions. They didn't have any. So why would they have given them blankets if they didn't know about microbes? It's just, and that was like in 1740. So,
all right, just we go to our caller real quick. Mike from Grand Bay. Hi, Mike. Real quick, what you got?
Hi. Well, here's a quickie that kind of fits the theme. Years ago in New Orleans, I believe it was in the New Orleans area, there was a young man, walked up to a door dressed like a soldier. And when he knocked on the door and the little fella opened the door, it happened to be a Vietnamese man. He killed him dead, thinking that he was from the war. In his mind, something
maybe
about,
he was.
Yeah, he killed him dead. And I'll tell you another story. Years ago, Daddy told me about this. He said that years ago, somewhere around Robertsdale or somewhere down there, there was a man thought it would be a good idea. He thought he'd have a little fun. So he went around there. He left his wife home that night. So he went around there and eased up to the back window of the house and went to creaking the window up. She shot him dead right there. is online.
It's not funny, but I want to invite you to be a regular on our show.
I've got some good stories now.
Those are great, I tell you. Thank you.
All right, well, thank you so much, Mike. Appreciate it.
That'd be bad, wouldn't it?
I know.
Oh, I want to tell you this.
Yeah.
My granddaddy and grandmother swore by this. They're both gone. God rest their soul, they're gone now. But I'm going to tell you right now, back in about the 1950s, my grandmother said one night they were laying up in there in the bed, and plain as day, somebody, my granddaddy's name was Earl, and somebody said, Earl. And they went outside looking everywhere with a flashlight, and nobody was even there. They never found a soul.
Oh, boy.
I'm telling you.
Maybe it's a soulless person doing it.
Maybe it was the Mothman.
Yeah. I don't know if that was Halloween, but I mean, you know, it fits the theme, man.
Yeah, it sure does.
Thank you so much, Mike. Thank you so much, Mike. Appreciate it. All right, next on the line we have Bob, our good friend Bob here. And, Bob, you've got an interesting story regarding the JFK assassination.
Yeah, well, it turns out my great uncle was Maurice Nick McDonald, who was the officer who captured Lee Harvey Oswald, or made first contact with Lee Harvey Oswald in the Texas Theater. And, you know, and that was the situation where Oswald tried to shoot him. And
he killed one officer, Tibbetts, already.
Stuck his hand out, and the hammer of the gun hit him in the webbing in between his thumb and his first finger. And what was interesting to me was as I got older, we came to know Uncle Nick and everything, is how when the word Kennedy or Oswald would be mentioned, he would get this just really just kind of pleasant look on his face. And he would shake his head from side to side and say there was no conspiracy. And then up and down, Oswald acted alone.
That sounds a lot like MK Ultra.
Yeah.
And I did a little research after we originally talked, and he was sent. He ended up being the Secret Service detail for Marina Oswald as a attaboy from the Dallas Police Department. But somewhere along the way, he got some kind of training, I believe. And it was also another interesting family story. My mother's side of the family is from Jefferson, Texas, and several of them ran the local newspaper, and so they cornered Uncle Nick at one of the family reunions and really started working him. You know, oh, come on, Nick, you know something, you know, and all that. But the thing that everybody said was his disposition never changed, and he just kept doing there was no conspiracy. Oswald acted alone. And,
yeah, it's amazing how people do that.
Bob, repeat your uncle's name again so for our listeners.
Oh, yeah, his name was Maurice Nick McDonald. He went by Uncle Nick as we knew him.
Yeah, I actually Googled him when you told me about him, and he was right in the thick of it.
Oh yeah, he very much was. But one thing that my mother used to get very aggravated at my father, because my dad would try to trigger him when we got together the families or something. My dad would just walk by and Kennedy. And, you know, and there he would go into his little spiel, you know, there was no conspiracy. Oswald acted alone. And I remember she was quite mad at him one time on the ride home. He got an earful.
Those lone gunmen, they're really prolific, aren't they?
yeah, he was.
Well, that is a very interesting story. Thank you so much, Bob, for taking time out of your day and calling in and sharing that with us. It's just really, really, really fascinating.
Well, you know, one real quick thing, you know, is I was born in Dallas and grew up around Dallas-Fort Worth area. After the assassination, and especially in the late 60s, there was a great sense of shame around Dallas over what had happened.
Yeah, people expected him to be greeted hostily, but he wasn't. You know, except for Lee Harvey.
Go ahead, Bob.
Oh, I'm sorry. I broke up a little bit. I couldn't hear you.
I was saying most of Kennedy's advisors were warning him about hostile crowds in Texas. And when he got there, Fort Worth first and then Dallas, it was very, you know, good crowds cheering, except for one person or one or more persons.
I think I saw this in one of the shows. The Secret Service saw daylight coming out of the Cellar, which was a notorious nightclub in downtown Fort Worth. And they had closed it down and had a nice little party all the way till dawn.
Well, there's a theory that one of the Secret Service agents actually shot him by mistake.
Oh, Bill Greer, right?
Yeah.
Bill Greer, yeah.
Right, right. So, yeah. Really get out there.
Yeah, but Uncle Nick had given me a package, and I'm still trying to locate it. But there was some very interesting. The transcripts were in the package that he gave me from the Dallas Police Department, and it's just amazing how flat-footed they were caught.
Oh yeah.
The sense of shock. I mean, they were completely in shock.
Well, what's amazing is even after that, you can look in 68 campaign. Of Nixon on a flatbed truck, like a parade, campaigning. And you think, you know, how dangerous can that be?
It's
changed through the ages. Bobby, thank you for calling. That's great.
Oh, yeah, guys. Yeah, bet. Thank you very much. Have a good one. Yeah,
all right. Thank you so much.
The best conspiracy theories are the ones that have some truth in them. You know, like with the Soviet Union used to put out the disinformation, and they'd have a little truth in it and a lot of non-truth. So those are the real ones that, you know, everybody kind of bites onto. But these assassins, it's kind of strange. And when you look and see he was on the Warren Commission, even stranger, I don't know. You know, still know one way or another. I'm keeping that one open. Not that it matters. They'll never, at this date, never find anybody. Looks like we're about up against the break. And if you want, when we get back, I'll tell everyone about the connection of did the government create AIDS or what happened with the polio vaccine in the 50s? That's very interesting. We'll be back with more of Armed Alabama after the break.
Step up to the firing line. Armed Alabama is back. Questions, comments, and texts at 343-0106.
Oh, welcome back to Armed Alabama. Now, each of us here is going to kind of go through a conspiracy theory. Whew. I should watch the Mel Gibson movie. One of them that's been out for a long time, is the government created AIDS as a way, you know, depopulation disease. And there's a little truth to it, and the truth is this. Any of you that are, let's say, 60-ish, remember when they first came out with the polio vaccine. The first vaccine was Dr. Salk's that was a dead polio virus, but you had to take a shot. Nobody wanted a shot, but they vaccinated a lot of people. They were working on two people, Dr. Sabin and Dr. Kaprowski, on a live virus, weakened live virus. A lot of us took in sugar cubes or whatever. Well, they needed an area that was basically had no smallpox. Sabin did it in Russia, and Kaprowski did it in the old Belgian Congo. Well, there's no question that somehow when they were doing the Belgian Congo, the polio, they grew the polio vaccine on green monkey kidney cells, which almost every one of them contained simian virus 40. Woman at the National Institutes of Health warned them that is a cancer-causing virus, at least in animals. We need to do something about it. They did in 3 or 4 years, but there's about a 5-year period from, let's say, 56 to 61 or two, that if you got the polio vaccine, you got SV40 in you, simian virus 40, which is a cancer causer, at least in animals. So don't know about the AIDS, but this is true, and it's something they try to cover up.
And, Judge, I'd like to echo something you just said. I remember in junior high school, we lived in Maryland at the time. They lined us all
Sugar
up in
cubes.
The gym. Every child in America had to get the polio shot. We got the shot. And then about a year or two later, we got the sugar cube.
Isn't that interesting?
And can you imagine if today somebody said it is mandatory that every child in America has got to have this shot, there would be riots
Everybody's
in
so
the streets.
Cynical now because of things that have happened. I mean, mistakes get made, but it's when you cover them up.
But nobody questioned it. We just lined up and got our shot.
Oh, yeah. I remember lining up at the school
Because polio was so horrible.
Yeah, exactly.
I mean, every school I attended— There was at least one child that I knew that had the braces on their legs.
Oh, man. Well, there's some people. I did not know this. Mitch McConnell walks with a limp, and that's from polio as a child when these Antifa and all were harassing him at some restaurant. You know, he's not my favorite senator, but the fact that they were after him, he kind of rose in stature to me. So, anyway, that's kind of interesting. By the way, if you ever see the mark S-P-O-R with an eagle, that, you know, we stamped stuff, property of the United States government. In Rome, they stamped it with that, and that meant the Senate and the people of Rome, that they owned whatever you were looking at, which is pretty interesting.
And just one last thing, transitioning over to JFK and 9/11. On JFK, one last thing on him. Please understand the reason why JFK was killed, in my opinion, is because of his executive order 11110. In that executive order, it essentially abolished the existence of the Federal Reserve Bank that is a privately owned bank by the Rothschilds. Now, guess what happens? When you mess with people's money, people die.
Oh, yeah. You can kidnap their children and take their wife. You take their money.
That's right.
You're in a lot of trouble.
So that's the reason why he was killed. It basically JFK.
I still think Lyndon Johnson was part of it too, because he would have done anything.
JFK had his own personal war against the central bankers, and they had him killed.
To show you how bad Johnson is, let me throw this story in. He and McNamara approved a plan in '67, I think it was, to basically to lower the IQ level for draftees and volunteers to get more people to Vietnam. They were taking people that had IQs as low as 50. And I've read this book recently about it, and basically had people couldn't tie their shoes. And their officers were saying, we need to discharge this person. He's going to get us killed. And the higher-ups said, no way. We got to fill the quotas.
Got to have cannon fodder.
That's pretty evil.
Cannon fodder.
Yeah, that is – I won't say the nickname they gave him, McNamara's blah, blah, but that's awful.
And one last thing on JFK. The assassination of JFK on November 26, 1963, in my opinion, was the birth of the deep state. The reason why? The American people were not able to fight back against what happened to JFK.
Yeah.
We accepted the lame story, the magic bullet theory, single shooter. We accepted it, and we allowed the perpetrators to go by.
And I think Trump's presidency has proven the deep state exists, and they have a motive, and they have a mode of operating. There's no question about it.
That's right. One last thing. If you want to know more about the bankers, YouTube, this little documentary called All Wars Are Bankers' Wars, and it's a boss way of understanding how the financial system really works in America and why we have all these wars. All wars are bankers' wars. YouTube that.
That's one reason I think Alexander Hamilton is one of the worst founding fathers. He is the father of the whole central banking, government-owned bank. When during the ratification conventions, he's one that said, oh, the Congress, U.S. government and Congress can only do what they're specifically authorized to do. Didn't say anything about banks. The minute this all passed and he's Washington Secretary of the Treasury, we need to establish a national bank. because having debt and borrowing money is the best thing we could do. So he was probably one of the first.
That's right. And the Federal Reserve Bank was actually established back in 1913, and it has reigned over us for over 100 years. So there you go.
And like you said, Federal Reserve is not federal, and I don't think it reserves.
Like Federal Express?
Yes, privately owned.
All right, Glenn, you gave me a conspiracy theory today that I had never heard of, and that was a group that had published a white paper. And go ahead and briefly explain that.
Yeah, actually, that's a great segue into the 9/11 conspiracy. So prior to 9/11, in the late 1990s, specifically 1997, there was a group called Project for a New American Century.
Yep,
some of you
yep.
may know this.
I know.
This was a neocon think tank. Comprised of John
Wolfowitz
Bolton,
was in
Wolfowitz,
it, and then,
Rumsfeld, Dick Cheney, Condi Rice. And lo and behold, a majority of these people also ended up in George W. Bush's cabinet after his election. So in this document, they clearly stated a need for America to be the supreme superpower in the 21st century. In order to do that, they needed a catalyst. That catalyst had to be a Pearl Harbor-type event. Lo and behold.
Which we all know.
Was.
It was. I don't believe Roosevelt knew the time or the day, but I think he knew attack was coming. And I don't know whether he could have prevented it or not, but that's what got us in the war. And he was anxious to do that. And how did we get in the Spanish-American War, another complete setup? Sinking of the Maine. You know, our friendly ship goes to Cuba and the Spanish decide to sink it. So I think what you're saying is right on.
So
that you got to have a dramatic event.
And a false flag.
The Patriot Act,
a false flag event, in fact, yes.
Already had it written.
That's
it's
right.
Amazing.
Like the Gulf of Tonkin incident was a false flag event.
Glenn, so, on our Armed Alabama Facebook page, Armed Alabama Radio, FM Talk 106.5, I did what they call an engram about when the word conspiracy, when it was used the most in all printed publications. That's interesting. You ought to look at that. And then I also have conspiracy theory. It doesn't really come in until maybe the 60s, and most of the references is to under their theory of conspiracy, the government states. But the conspiracy, there's a reason why there are pages and pages and pages devoted in the U.S. Code about conspiracies, because some of them are real.
That's right. Now, some bullet points on 9/11. I could talk about this for 2 hours at least, but this is my baby here, but some bullet points. The reason why I think this was an inside job, why it was conspiracy, all you have to do is look to several things. Number one, look at 7 World Trade Center. That was a controlled demolition. The building fell down into its own footprint. Number two, look at the aspect of how the buildings came down. The reasoning, the official government reasoning, was that fires brought down the Twin Towers. Impossible. Why? Jet fuel burns at a max temperature of 1,800 degrees Fahrenheit. The melting point of steel is 2,500 degrees Fahrenheit. Now, you've all done mathematical inequalities in school. 1,800 is less than 2,500.
Yeah.
Not possible.
Everything was pulverized, even the bodies. I mean,
that's correct.
Dust.
That's right. Also, remember, there was fireproofing material on the steel structure, so there was added redundancy on the steel structure. The building was designed to withstand an impact. At the time, the biggest airplane in the world, a Boeing 707. Now, as engineers, you know that buildings and bridges are built with a factor of safety involved. So,
if it says 100-pound limit, it's really 150.
That's correct. Yeah. In fact, they talked to the project manager for the Twin Towers, and he said specifically, and this is in the video, that building could have taken multiple impacts from jet airliners and still stay standing. The other thing, too, is that proper analysis was never conducted on the building remains. Instead, the scrap was sent to China with no analysis done on the building material that fell down. Also, clear video evidence that shows molten steel in the rubble of the building. Now, how is that possible, Glenn? Because you just told me the melting point of steel is 2,500 degrees Fahrenheit.
Thermite or something
thermite,
else.
Thermite, that's correct, Judge.
Yeah, it's hotter.
And it burns at 4,000 degrees Fahrenheit, hence molten steel.
Mm. And you look and see, well, why would anybody do that? Well, there's the Patriot Act now that took half of our liberties away. There's war, two wars in the Middle East going. So, you know, you might not be able to prove all the details of a conspiracy, but it really had a result that somebody liked.
Right.
Ready for a break, Mr. Producer? We'll be right back with more of Armed Alabama on this conspiracy night.
Alabama is back. Questions, comments, and texts at 343-0106.
Hate to interrupt that. I'm kind of getting frightened by that. I want to thank Steve Moore and the Moore Law Firm for being one of our sponsors tonight. They're personal injury lawyers here in Mobile. I've known them for years. You need to call, you can call for a free consultation to be scheduled, and that's 251-445-7602. They're downtown at 8 North Dearborn Street or on the web at www.morelawfirm-al.com.
And, of course, Judge, the holiday season is right around the corner since tomorrow is Halloween. So if you are looking for that perfect gift for your special someone, man or woman, there's lots of potential gift ideas at McCoy Outdoors. You can't.
It's more fun than going to a jewelry store.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. And, of course, like the judge says, it's not Christmas unless there's a gun underneath the tree.
There you go. we stole that from somebody.
definitely McCoy Outdoors is your place to go. They have not only they have firearms but ammunition. They have lots of sporting gear, outdoor clothing, a plethora of outdoor clothing, really, really nice stuff. So definitely go to McCoy Outdoors and tell them that you heard about them from Armed Alabama.
On Spring Hill Avenue, right at I-65.
All right, so going forward with our show on conspiracies, I got a conspiracy for you guys. And you might have heard of this and you might not. The conspiracy is missing 411.
Oh, yeah.
So there actually was, I found out recently, there was a movie that was made on
David
this subject.
David Pilates.
Yes.
His name is
very strange. So David Pilates is an investigator. He was a former police officer and detective, and he retired, and he was actually contacted by a couple of tech giants who asked him to investigate Bigfoot. Or Sasquatch, because each of these tech giants who live in the great Northwest in Oregon and Washington, growing up, they each had experiences regarding Bigfoot or something to that nature. So that's how kind of David kind of started investigating this, and not only investigate Bigfoot, and they did a DNA study, which he concluded his new group concluded that Bigfoot is not actually, or Sasquatch is not actually an ape, but a very primitive.
Lemur. I think,
yeah, you know, very primitive man. So some type of.
When she came out those results.
Pre-Neanderthal.
She had very legitimate testing lab, a PhD.
Yep.
When she came out with that, her reputation was destroyed.
Absolutely. So with that background there, that's kind of how David got started doing investigations. So when he investigating Sasquatch, he also came across lots of different disappearances. God, I can't speak tonight. In national parks, and so when he approached the National Park Services about providing a list of missing persons, guess what?
We don't have such a thing.
That's exactly what they said.
But they're if you want it, we'll make one. And I think it was like $1.5 million.
Yeah, it was a lot of money. So he contacted with his investigations. People contacted him about, hey, my son or daughter or cousin or brother went missing in this national park. What do you know about it? And, of course, he stated, well, I was just investigating, certain cases. So that allowed him to broaden his investigation to all of the national parks within the United States. And guess what? None of the national parks right. keep a missing persons list, and there are hundreds and hundreds of people.
And it's not a sole hiker. It may be eight people hiking, and the last one in the line
is gone.
They notice they're gone.
And one of them was in the that really got my attention was in the Smoky Mountains, which I go hiking there a lot. Of course, Judge, you know we've been to Yellowstone. There's many people that's been missing in Yellowstone, but go missing without a trace.
Or how about the ones that are found? Some of them are found weeks later.
Yes.
And can't tell anybody where they've been, why, where their shoes, how did you walk around that shoes? It's complete blank.
Yeah, completely disoriented, have no idea where they were at, how they got to the location. Sometimes that location was miles and miles from a place that they went missing. So anyway, check that out. Missing 411 is really, really bizarre.
And they usually have some interviews with him.
Yes.
I'll look and see how you spell
his name. I think the gentleman that you had mentioned before, was it Coast to Coast Radio, has done some really good interviews with him. And I can't remember the name of it now. Of the show, but I think you just mentioned him.
It's Coast to Coast, George AM. Norrie,
Yep. George Knapp.
Norrie.
George Knapp, yeah.
Here, you spell his last name, P-A-U-L, Paul, I-D-E-S, Paul D's. And you can, like I say, first thing, if you Google it, you'll see Missing 911, the National Park Conspiracy, hour and a half interview. And this isn't a kook. I mean, he was
a detective
in maybe Los Angeles or someplace for years.
Absolutely. So,
and he doesn't say, hey, I think Sasquatch is doing it or aliens. He says, I don't know what's doing it. But he said, I don't go in a national park unless I have a gun and a transmitter, you know, one of these beacons. Emergency beacons.
Exactly. And this is something that we could talk about all night with all these different missing persons, some of them being children that went missing, that the FBI was called in.
That's so awful.
And not only that, but they had special forces that were called in. They were in full combat gear to look for one missing child in the Smoky Mountains.
For our people on Facebook, I'm wearing my conspiracy theory outfit today. And, you know, some of this is attributed when the police decided to take on the military look. Instead of Andy Griffith coming to your door, it looked like kind of the SS stormtroopers coming to your door, which kind of adds to, I don't know, people's distrust of things.
Fear and intimidation.
There you go. That's kind of, I think, why it's done. That's why judges in most states, including Alabama, did not wear robes until the 50s. He was wore suit. But it kind of, hey, if you wear the black robe, it helps intimidate people, like a doctor wearing a white coat, you know.
Is that like life and death, white coat, black
coat? Maybe so. It's funny because they also say it kind of helps disguise you, so criminal. I'd be walking on the street, and somebody would yell at me and wave from 200 yards away, hey, Judge, and it was some criminal that had a case on my nose. It didn't disguise me very well.
Real quick, we got a text here. It says, hey, this is Andy calling in from texting in from Mississippi. Love the show, even though I am in Mississippi. Just brought a Smith & Wesson M&P. What do you think? Your thoughts? Is this a pretty good pistol? If you like it and if you're accurately shooting with it, by all means, it's a good pistol.
Yeah, I mean, it's one of those things. Does it fit your hand good? But one thing, go out and shoot it with self-defense ammo that you're going to use. And I know it's expensive, but box of 50 rounds. Make sure, because some ammo hangs up in guns. So, yeah, it's a good gun.
And just one last thing here before we go tonight. Remember, next week, Tuesday, get out and vote. Get out and vote. Get out and vote. It's mobs versus jobs. It's disparity versus prosperity. Get out and vote.
Mobs versus jobs. That's correct.
Because at the end of the day, remember, the government you elect is the government you deserve.
I won't say anything else. That's great. See you next week.